Hey you, it's me, Barney from Playtime. Remember, I promised I'd explain Playtime's awesome new diaper bags to you if you promised to go check them out. You haven't returned any of my calls, so this is my last resort. Playpacks are a multi-handle backpack diaper bag made from high-quality waterproof nylon by the folks at Playtime. Playpacks are able to fit up to 6 adult diapers, with room to spare, and with their wide, reinforced main compartment, they stay open on their own during changes. Plus, if you're an overpacker like me, the Playpack has you covered with oversized elastic and interior pockets, as well as insulated cup holders. And they're not just good for diapers. With their inner zippers and front net pockets, they're the perfect size for school, work, or outdoor activities. I'll never need another bag again. Choose from a bunch of different designs, from adorable dino and sailor patterns to more discreet baby blue or blackout designs. These functional diaper bags will have you feeling super cute, whilst making sure you're always prepared for a change wherever you are. Well, I've upheld my end of the bargain. Now go check out Playtime's Playpacks and see which one's for you. Please, don't let me down. I wish I could shake my belly like a bowl full of jelly, but my depression just won't let me. Welcome to The Big Top. I am your host, Barney, and for the last episode this season, I decided to socially pressure CEO of Playtime and my boss, Pup Amore, into joining me. With this being our last episode, I thought it'd be fun to have the man behind The Big Top on, and turn to the community to send any questions they had for us our way. As always, if you get the chance to rate and review this podcast, you'd be doing me a massive favor, and with enough support, we just might be back for a second season. Today the circus is in Barcelona, Spain, and I invite you to join me as we go under the Big Top.
I'm excited. It's funny because like I give you and Neasy such freedom with like the way that you guys do these. I like it to be like you and all you, and so it feels a little. I feel like I'm in the hot seat. Like
you
like
are. I'm... Oh, you are. And we're gonna get some truths, some hard truths. We're gonna get to the bottom. Yeah,
exactly. The truth.
This is when you find out what the podcast is actually like, and you're like, oh fuck, what? Have I
what did I do?
Yeah, what have I given birth to? Oh, did you do your homework?
Oh, I had to think of something I'm really excited about, right? I'm really looking forward to. I do. Yeah. I have one. I
okay, great. I'll test you at the end.
Okay. I'm excited. No, I'm actually terrified, but I'm excited.
Good. I've got you right where I want you. So welcome to The Big Top.
Hi.
The man behind the man behind The Big Top. Pup Amore.
Hello, hello. It is I, the pup love, Pup Amore. With a U. With a U.
Yes.
Because
we're international.
Exactly. We support all people here, okay?
Wait, isn't it always with a U?
No, it's Amore. Like Amore in, I think in English you spell it A-M-O-R.
Oh, in Spanish.
Spanish. Yeah. Speaking of Spanish, I'm reporting from Spain, so it's...
Well, I'm glad you're having fun in the sun while the rest of us are, you know, at home working hard and it's freezing.
I mean, you're the one who decided to live in the UK, not me.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know why I've done this to myself.
Mm-hmm. You have no one to blame but yourself.
Do you know what? We actually just had like the craziest snow, like
really?
The craziest snow, and it's settled and everything and is like crunchy, crunchy, dry, dry. This doesn't happen here. And I'm thinking... What? I'm so close to a white Christmas. We haven't had a white Christmas. I looked this up since 1999.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it just rains.
I don't know why that. I guess it does rain more, but I don't know why. It's like
it snows, but like never on Christmas.
And it doesn't stay. It like melts.
It never stays. No. Yeah. Like you've got it for 24 hours, and then it rains, and then it becomes just mush, and it's horrible. And so I'm doing the most adult thing I've ever done, and hosting Christmas this year. My family's coming. Yeah. So I'm like, we have a white Christmas. And of course this morning it's all fucking gone. It's just been raining all day.
I hope you get it. I'm originally from Ohio, and in Ohio it's very much like Britain but worse. It gets to 90 degrees in the summer and then like 5 degrees Fahrenheit, by the way, 90 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer, but then like 5 degrees Fahrenheit in the winter. And so we get white Christmases all the time.
Got it. Oh, see, that's the thing, like here it's just wet.
And I know, which is why I'm not interested. People ask me if I ever would ever live in London or live in Britain. I'm like, I'll visit, but no, not for me.
No. And I'm like a warm weather person.
Oh,
it's like
God,
I've decided
suffering.
To make myself unhappy.
Is this your kink? Is this your kink?
This is my kink.
Really bad weather.
The majority of the year, I just like being pummeled by the depressive fist that is bad weather.
Not fist!
Honestly, and like, it's the darkness. It's the darkness. Like,
yeah.
It's just dark.
That's actually like, one of the things dark. When I moved to San Francisco, that was actually the one thing that I noticed was a huge like boost to my mental health was it's always sunny. And I lived in East Bay when I first moved there. And so it was always sunny and it was always a nice day. And even on the days it would rain, it was like the few times it's rained, it's, I can count on one hand how many times I've lived there.
You have
there.
Fog.
But, well, in San Francisco proper, there's fog. But in the East Bay, which is across the water, it doesn't fog like that. It's only in San Francisco proper that happens.
But you still have hills.
We do have a lot of hills. It don't move to San Francisco if you don't like walking and you don't like getting really fat calves. Because you will literally, like, the hills are... They make it seem like the hills are like, oh, it's kind of hilly. No, it is uphill both ways to school. You want to die. Some of the streets have stairs because of how steep the hill is. Like concrete stairs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. The hills are crazy. The hills are alive with the sound of people in pain
in
going
pain,
up and down them.
In pain and spreading rainbow love everywhere.
You sound quite good. Like, you sound...
Thank you. Are you
heavily medicated?
I literally chugged as much like DayQuil as I could. I've been drinking water. This morning, I felt like death. And so I literally did not leave bed. When I say that I have been in the bed for 24 hours straight, I mean quite literally this is the first time I've gotten out of the bed. I went downstairs to get the Wi-Fi password, sat down, and got on my computer. So I think that helped.
I'm so sorry I made you do this on death's door.
No.
You could have done it last night, but nah.
So what happened for the listeners, I'm on my honeymoon and we were in...
Happy honeymoon, by the way. Is that what people say?
I think that's what they say. I don't know. Gay people only got the right to have one like a few years ago, so I think we're still figuring it out. we started in Venice, and then we're now in Barcelona, and then we're finishing in Rome. And both my husband and I have come down with the flu right at the last day. Well, he got the flu right on the last day of Venice. I got it right as we got here to Spain. So yesterday I was feeling scratchy, and I knew it was coming, and I was like, fuck, here it is. And so this morning I woke up, and it felt like I had been hit by a 2-ton truck. So,
yeah.
But I do feel better now than I did this morning. So hopefully maybe by tomorrow I'll be somewhat coherent.
I'll pray for you.
Thank you. Thank
you. I'm really hoping it's not what I had, because that is going around, which I think was actually just the flu. I think I'm going to start looking into this whole flu jab thing, because that's...
Have you never gotten a flu shot?
Never, because we don't really do... I was going to say we don't really do that here. As in, like, they don't put that on the NHS.
So you have to, like, pay for it.
Would have to pay for it. But I think it's only, like, 10 quid, so...
I would say do it. I've gotten it. I mean, in America, it's a regular thing.
Yeah.
I would do it. Every year that I've gotten the flu shot, I've maybe gotten a small... And I've gotten sick maybe once, and when I do, it's, like, super short.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
Every year I get something nasty, and I've just been on my back for 2 weeks. This thing...
Aren't you always on your back?
Listen.
You walked right into that. You walked right into that. Are you kidding me?
I invite you on my podcast, and you belittle and bully me in this way. Fuck, that was so easy. How did I...
Don't bully me, I'll come.
That's the episode god. Title right there.
Oh my god, please, can we...
Of course. That's the episode title. I mean, I do
love getting bullied, so it is very fitting. I'm a huge, huge humiliation kink.
Yes. I mean, that's where all my things come from, so...
Yeah, dope. I approve this. Actually, you know what? I'm ordering you as your boss.
Oh, okay. Well, now I have to, right?
Now you have to, yeah.
I was going to do something clever. I was going to quote, you know, Charge of the Light Brigade, but... Into the Valley of Kink we go, but no. Now it's just going to be, don't believe me, I'll come.
So I'm here, Barney. So you have been into your first season. Did you imagine you? I'm reversing it. I'm taking charge of the interview. Did you expect to be here when you started?
At 20 episodes, no.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I thought we would finish, but I think that would have been weird if I didn't. But yeah, 20 episodes. I thought that was.
Well,
I didn't intend to just kind of keep going forever. I was like, I don't know, this is sort of an experiment. Let's just see how this goes. Let's say.
Well, it was funny because I told you repeatedly before you did this, I was like, Barney, you really are perfect for podcasting. Like, you're really, really, you have the perfect voice for it. You do a really great job. And lo and behold, you've been in the top 100 in the UK for like the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's been a
even
pretty wild
even life. We never share this information publicly, so I'm spilling the tea, hunty. The hot tea, hot sipping.
We're here for that hot sizzling
tea.
hot tea.
House the down the boots, mama. Whatever.
Down my house boots, mama.
Yes. No, you have consistently placed in the top, one knows, I think it's top 150 in the UK, top 60 in Costa Rica. Weirdly, you're in the top 50 in it's like the Czech Republic, I think it is. Like, you're high there. You've charted in the Philippines, you've charted in Australia, and we've officially passed, I believe, 50,000 downloads, if I'm not mistaken. I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure we passed that a while ago.
So I guess I'll have to come back for another season.
Yeah, no, you, the people demand it. In fact, actually, I think I saw on Twitter, people were like, wait, is this the end? And they were like, no, please come back.
Gotta leave them wanting more. You heard it here, folks. We are now officially renewed for a second season. This is how I managed to get one. I sort of Shanghai you into an episode, and then you'd feel terrible if I said no.
Yeah, that's true.
If you came on here to let me know that this was canceled.
Okay, that would be like... That would put me on like Elon Musk level as a CEO. I feel like if to come on your podcast and tell you that you're canceled,
there is so much power that comes with that.
There is, but you know what it is though. For me, every CEO gets off slightly at the power that they hold. I'm telling you, but it's how. For me, it's watching everybody succeed. Like when you guys succeed, I'm like, yes, like that's you know. For Casey Strom, I'm pretty sure, like, whenever he sees people using his diapers, he's like, yes, use those diapers I made. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's different for everyone. For me, it's watching my team thrive and turn into amazing people. So, yeah.
Oh. Okay, what started Playtime? Let's all the way back to the beginning. How did this even... What is Playtime? What do you hope it can be?
Well... Playtime is a community-led media brand meant for kinksters, fetishists, and kinkster lifestylers, specifically ABDLs, pup players, and general kinksters, and both gay, queer, and straight ecosystem. That was a very, very long version.
Without even looking. Memorized your own. Good job. Good job.
But in all seriousness, though, the idea for Playtime just came about. So COVID happened, obviously. Sure did. And I was a sex worker and a makeup artist at the time. So basically I lost both my jobs at the same time. Cause I'm HIV positive. So I couldn't go see clients. I had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then Mac furloughed and then laid off all of their workers by April. And so at that time I had an older business where I had done some apparel and stuff, but unfortunately it just didn't work out. And so I was like, you know, like I really want to create a brand that is more around like my aesthetic, which if anyone's ever seen the way I dress, I like to, my catchphrase is that you can never miss me because I'm the black guy who dresses like a toddler. And it's true. It's true.
There is a Crayola aesthetic.
Yes, that is. Oh my God. That's going to be my new Twitter bio, Crayola aesthetic. I just have always wanted to make a brand that kind of represented me. And also at the time, what's so funny, the real reason that it came to me, I had thought about this for a very long time. But the reason why I pulled the trigger and did it was actually because of Tykeables. So, So Tykeables in 2019 had released a line of polos, hoodies, and sweatshirt onesies. And they were plain colored. They were like black and red and blue. And at Mac, you're required to wear all black. You can't wear any other colors except for silver and gold. Like you can wear silver hardware and gold hardware.
Right, okay.
And so I had been searching far and wide for a onesie that I could wear to work because I really like to be padded at work. It gives me a little bit of a thrill to pee myself while I'm doing someone's makeup. And so they had a black polo onesie. Now, I'm broke. At the time, I was making $200 a week. I was not making a lot of money. And so spending $70 on a onesie was a lot of money for me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I saved and I saved and I saved. And I finally was ready to buy one. This was I want to say late 2019, early 2020. I go to their website and it's sold out. And I'm like, okay. So I wait a few weeks, go and check. Still sold out. But they're promoting their new printed ones. Like, they had done their diaper prints as onesies, and they're promoting those. And so finally I was like, what is going on? So I tweeted them and I said, hey, I really wanted to buy a black polo onesie. When are they coming back? And they said, they're not. They were discontinued. Couldn't get them. And so in the ultimate moment of rebellion, I said, well, fuck it. I'll do it my damn self. And I built Playtime. We did actually try to make a line of polo onesies. But because we can't buy the same bulk that Onesies Down Under does, there was no way we could match them on price. And so it was just impossible to get people to pay what we needed them to get them produced. Yeah. So we weren't able to do it. But I still have the samples and I love them. I wear them all the time. And yeah, so that was a true reason I started Playtime, was spite.
Pure unadulterated spite.
Spite. It's a very powerful motivator.
That is cool, though. Like, making what you want to see in the world, I think, is kind of what all of us came here to do and came together to do. So
absolutely.
That tracks. Okay, when then did you kind of realize that kink was so important to you that you wanted to create this company for other kinksters?
Well, so like everyone else, I was really affected by the Tumblr purge. For anyone who maybe is not familiar with that, Tumblr was like the safe haven for kinksters, sex workers, and creators for a very long time. And then when they were purchased by Yahoo, they banned all not safe for work content. And it happened like overnight. And so there was no warning. There was no preparation. And so everyone tried to migrate to Twitter, but like entire friendships, groups, like the community was just basically completely splintered. And it's never truly recovered from that, I will say.
Yeah. And it's happening again. So
it's happening again. And so I was like, okay, well, if somebody has to put a line in the sand and say, this is a space for you, meant for you, meant for you to enjoy yourself, express yourself, and we're not going to censor you, like come as your full self. And so, yeah, that was kind of what Playtime became. And so while our first year was really focused on our clothing, that was really where we went. But it was very hard to scale a e-commerce apparel brand in the middle of COVID. We had constant delays, constant shipping issues, pricing was insane. And also, just as true, is that ABDLs in particular do not spend money on anything but diapers. Diapers and onesies. If it does not relate to diapers, they're typically not that interested. It doesn't matter how beautiful the clothes are. They'll go on and on about how they want solid colors and they want all these prints. But when it comes time to actually buy, they just don't follow through. And it's not just us that has observed this. This is why pretty much every company in the ABDL space has either just pivoted straight to diapers or will not introduce or does very limited apparel. It's because they just don't buy them. And so when we started moving into the pup play space, we noticed that they were, you know, really eager for something in that area. But what we found was that it was mostly they just wanted content. Like they wanted things to read, things to watch, things to enjoy that was focused on them. And so we started with Newsy Snook and doing that podcast, which has now run for 100 episodes now. We're coming up on, I think we're just past like 70. We're getting close.
71.
Yeah. 71. So yeah, we're getting close. So we started doing that. And then obviously we did The Big Top, which has been amazing. It's been so lovely seeing you just fucking kill it. We did our Discord server. It's true. Everybody, you can't see me, but I'm actually in a cage. Holding a knife to my throat. And then we did the Discord server, the Playground, which we ended up shutting down for reasons that I might be able to share here if we want to. But
let's do it.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, we built a Discord server. We like age gated it and everything, and you know, created a space for people to be able to share themselves, basically an internal social network essentially inside Discord. And we just found that people loved it. They liked the idea of being able to connect with people like themselves. People feel comfortable sharing their face when usually that's something that they like refuse to do online. And yeah, it's really become this media brand that really is just about creating a safe space for kinksters. So that way they have a company that understands them, that creates content for them, and is actually interested in providing the kind of environment that they've always wanted.
Do you think someone will make a not safe for work Twitter alternative at some I keep talking about this because I'm like, why has someone not done this? And obviously there's so many reasons, and like it's way more complicated than I even understand. But do you think someone is gonna eventually do something like that? Something that is publicly owned, something that people can just use to connect with one another? Because that seems to be the most crucial thing that we all need. And
Well, so before I answer that question, there's something I need to explain when it comes to social media and the difference between that and a social network. Social media is a tool. It is a tool to broadcast your voice. It is not a tool to build connections. And that is a lie that's been sold to us for over a decade by Twitter, by Instagram. They sell this lie that come here and you'll connect with people like you and you'll make friends, but that's not the case. When you have 50,000 followers, those are not your friends. You know, those are people who are interested in what you do. They might like what you produce, but they're not your friends. And while you can eventually make friends on social media, that is not its true purpose. Its true purpose is to broadcast your voice, which it does exceptionally well. Social networks, however, those are where you build connections. And the distinction is that social media is about broadcasting your voice via some kind of media form, text, video, photo, what have you. Social networks are about building one-to-one connections with other people who have a shared interest like you. So forums, Discord, Telegram, those are social networks. You see where I'm going? And so the issue that we have is that people want a social network, but they think that social media is the way to do it, and that's not it. So they're never going to get what they want because they're using the wrong tool. Which brings me to something exciting. Playtime has been kind of working really hard, and we've been working in the background on a lot of fun stuff. This podcast will be the last one that we produce for the next month and a half. The company is going on a bit of a hiatus. We're going dark mode for a little bit until February for multiple reasons. But a big reason why is that we are soon going to be publishing a adult industry-focused social networking app. And so it goes into beta. It's actually in the middle of the approval process on the App Store right now. I literally was in Venice finishing coding and submissions right before I got sick. The beta build on Google Play is actually ready for download. The Apple one just got approved this morning for the beta. They're actually going to go ahead and share it with those who signed up to be part of the beta. And the idea is to finally create a social networking app that is built around Kingsters and for Kingsters. And so you'll be able to read all of our articles that we produce. You can listen to the Big Top. You can listen to the Newsy Snook. You'll get notifications when new episodes drop. We have a section in there where you can keep up to date with your favorite streamers. So we have a whole list of Twitch streamers and artists, and you'll get notified like when they go live so you can interact with them. There is what we call the play section, which has any upcoming events. And the app actually has, if you give us permission for your location, it'll actually show you events that are coming up in your area. And the big piece that we're testing is we've essentially built a social networking component that mirrors Twitter, and we've also created a second one that mirrors Instagram. And the reason I did that was because, to be honest with you, I don't know what people want in terms of a feature set. You know, a lot of people love the back and forth conversational style of Twitter, but then other people really prefer the more like media focused idea of Instagram. And so the intention is to let people try both, see which one they like, and tell us what features that they really enjoy, and then hopefully go public with the app sometime in 2023.
I am so excited about the little that I've seen of it
It's
is
cool.
really cool.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll include the beta sign-up link in the description for this episode so people can sign up if they want to try it out.
I don't understand anything about the other side of it. Like, what was
Oh,
that?
I'm sorry. I had a my sorry.
Oh, I thought it
No,
was an
it's a zipper.
animal.
I'm sorry.
I thought you had some unhappy animal in your lap. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm really excited to
Well,
see what
it's
happens with
going to be
that.
interesting because obviously the biggest component that a lot of platforms get wrong is content moderation. I mean, I know a lot of people have been moving to Hive Social, but I've been telling everybody who will listen that please don't. It's run by two people with no moderation like set up whatsoever. The privacy policy is one of the most terrifying I've ever seen. But this is an example that people want something. They want anything. You know what I mean? Like, they're so desperate that they'll use whatever comes their way. And so,
And I mean, even something like Mastodon, which has been around long enough that some people really swear by it, but everyone who's moved there, every single person who's migrated has said it's really complicated and it's really hard to
It's
connect
really
with people.
not. Like, I really wish people would stop saying that. It really isn't. It's okay. You know how with Discord you have multiple servers and you just can join? It's literally the exact same thing. The reason why people say that it's difficult is because you don't just go to Mastodon's website and pick an instance. There's tons of instances. There's like 4,000 instances. So it's all about just picking one that you like, creating an account and just starting to use it. But I think people get choice paralysis because they're like, well, I need to pick the right one. And it's like, well, with Mastodon, you can pick up and move to to any instance and keep all your followers, you keep all the people you're following, and you keep all your content. So it doesn't really matter. You can pick and try out multiple ones every other day if you wanted to. But I think people miss that because they do a really poor job of explaining it. But yeah, you can follow anyone from any instance and people can follow you. But the thing that makes it unique is the instances are community run. So it's a team of admins and whoever on their moderation team they approve of, they're the ones hosting and running the instance, essentially. And so what makes it really unique and what we plan to do that's a little similar to this is that it encourages the community to moderate itself rather than being rolled into Elon Musk character. And so that can go in positive ways, which Mastodon overall actually has very strongly well-moderated communities because of that model. Or it can go really badly. But the beauty of it is that if there's an instance that's spewing things that you don't want your people to see, you can block it. Meaning that nobody on your instance can access it or see it. So it just gives control for the community into the community, into the hands of the community itself. And Playtime plans to do a similar model where we want to bring in moderators from within the community. So that way it's not us deciding everything. It's a community effort.
I spent like most of my life just away from social media. So I still get sucked into the whole chain of it.
Sometimes. Lately, I have taken an approach of trying to focus on life outside of it. I think one of the things that is so easy to do and is you become convinced that the reality you see on Twitter is everyone else's shared reality and that everything that's happening on social media is also affecting the world. Twitter is only used by like a third of the adult US population. It's not actually that big of a platform. It's actually pretty small when you really look at it. And so it's like, if you spend all of your time consuming that content, it starts to really affect you in negative ways because you become convinced that this is, you know, that everything's falling apart, the world is, you know, and which it is to some extent, but it's very easy to get suckered into that being your...
Right, but it's so amplified. Like, if you go outside, most people are quite reasonable.
Yes, absolutely.
But when people have the ability to amplify this one thing and make
it makes it seem,
you know,
the
people who are looking for it can find it totally, and then that just I've spent way too long like getting really bogged down being like, wait, what the hell, people like this exist, and it's like, okay, well, first of all, I don't need to get on my soapbox to let them know that, you know, this isn't an opinion, this isn't up for debate, you know, this is people's lives. It's like, okay, actually, they're just someone screaming on the internet into the void.
Into the void. And it's not worth your time, energy, or anything.
No, because my time is really precious, actually.
It really is. I mean, you travel. So you travel more than I do. That's saying something.
I do, yeah. I mean, I just don't like staying in one place too much.
I mean, I think it's fair. You also are in Europe. It's a lot easier to travel
so
to
much
different
easier.
Places.
Yeah. And like, if you live in the UK, stay sane.
Yeah, y'all are going through it right now. Y'all are going through it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
It's not though. this is just the final death, right? Like the empire declined, and like nobody knows how to live with you know.
I think it's gonna be really fascinating, and this is it's similar to the U.S. It's like when you're fed tons of propaganda over and over and over, and you're not given an alternative point of view in order to actually be able to think critically about it. You know, it's so easy to become susceptible to that narrative and to And yes, there's personal responsibility in there.
It's such an old country, but it's like that comes with a lot of shit, and so
A lot of baggage.
Yeah, and especially people today, I kind of don't really have sympathy for, because it's just like, the internet exists, like, just use your brain.
I feel you on that.
Like, what are we holding on to? There's nothing that's so great. I mean, anyway, but then again, I also kind of have the benefit of a more international perspective, so I'm just looking for a way out.
Well, hopefully you're able to find a new home at some point.
Oh yeah, I've never been particularly attached, but that's also kind of the beauty of like the modern world is we're very, very fortunate that we get to make these choices because we get to see more of the world than anyone ever has before. And so
100%. I know one thing that's been really eye-opening to me, like when we moved from Columbus, Ohio to San Francisco, California, I remember we had so many people from back home who were like, how did you do that? And I was like, we just did it. Like, I think a lot, and I talk about this often, is that people spend too much of their lives waiting for permission when the only person you need permission from is yourself.
Totally.
So it's like...
Obviously, everyone's situation is different. Yes, and like, obviously. Especially for a lot of different parts of the world, it's a lot harder to move around, like physically, but... physically. I mean, like...
Really, no, I get it. Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, just doing it. Just doing it. I mean, you will plan forever and it'll still never be the right time. You'll never have all the money put together.
It'll never be right. It'll never be the right time. And that's just how life is. There's always something happening. There's always something going on. If you are constantly waiting, then nothing will ever change. It's the same thing like with entrepreneurship. Like, you know, the best time to start a business was yesterday. The second best time is today. Because, like, you'll figure it out. Like, at some point, you just got to pull the trigger. If you spend all your time
you
planning.
Won't. And actually, that is not as terrifying a prospect. Because failure is literally just a lesson. It's how you then succeed. So you're not going to just figure it all out right the first time.
You're not
going to have trials and tribulations.
Let failure stop you, you'll never get anywhere. I have built and ran and tried to run my own business 6 or 7 different times. And it was only until Playtime that I really finally found success. And then now with my other company, which is also doing very well. So it's like, if I gave up after the first time, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on my honeymoon, you know, through Spain. I wouldn't have amazing employees like you. I wouldn't be able to, you know, travel around and meet incredible people from various corners of the world. I wouldn't be doing this crazy content creation stuff on TikTok. Like, I would have been still sitting at home, you know, depressed and dealing with bipolar disorder in my little house in Columbus. And I would be very unhappy. And right now, despite the fact that I'm very sick, there's a lot of various other stresses in my life. Like, I am happy. But none of that would have happened if I just sat on my ass and never did anything, you know?
Hell yeah. Let's go to break because I need to have a quick pee. And then we've got some questions.
Why aren't you padded, sir?
Because I don't have, but I. Damn it, I forgot it's the boss. I'm wearing the uniform.
Oh, really quick, before we go to break, because people have asked, yes, we did used to have it in our contract that you were required to be padded while you were over. We did. It's no longer, but at one point in time, it was part of the work contract.
I reserve the right to. Abstain from admitting whether or not I am padded. I'm just going to go into the other room to pee. I'm pleading the fifth.
Oh my god.
I actually still have loads of diapers.
Do you?
Anyway, we'll put a pin in that.
Okay.
Adulting is hard. Whether you're working hard to make deadlines, meet expectations, or juggle responsibilities, you're always on the go. And even when you're not, you're still painfully aware of your own existence. Crushed beneath existential dread, forever mired in the muck of mediocrity. Why not let go and have some fun with Colour Time? Playtime are now hosting a free-to-enter monthly colouring competition to bring together the community with art drawn by ABDL artists, including me. Let your inner child out and join in for the chance to win a $10 gift card with Playtime. Simply download the colouring page at playtime.link/colourtime, colour it however you want, and send it in before the deadline using the hashtag #ColourTimeForPlaytime. We'll pick the top 5 pages and the community votes for the winner on the Playtime Playground. Let yourself regress and see if you can stay in the lines. More information on the Playtime website.
I just fell over like an absolute monkey. Like, I just went, whoa.
We just here to be authentic.
There was something I wanted to touch on, but I wanted to quickly say that actually this has, through all of the trials and tribulations, just everything we were talking about, this has absolutely been the best job that I've ever had. And like a huge part of that has been that this is the first company actually I think I've worked for where it really feels like it's our company. Like the people behind it are what make it happen. And everyone is so amazing and so awesome, but also like just the openness. And I mean, something like, even as much as, you know, you've always been very upfront and vocal about things like your HIV status, always been a huge advocate for everyone talking about their mental health. And it's just when you start from a place of complete sort of like openness and honesty and transparency, then I feel like you kind of, I mean, you take the bad with the good, but you, that is like how you cast the widest net to get the kind of people who actually want to, you know, create that.
I agree. I've always said, I know, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm the best boss. I've made plenty of mistakes, right? Like, I'm human. And I at least try my best to own them and apologize for them when I do. And but that said, part of the reason why I've tried to build a culture that I have at Playtime is that I think we all can imagine a time where we worked somewhere where you were clearly, you didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like whether or not you showed up would have no effect on the business.
Yep.
Whether or not you showed up, no one would care. You could be replaced tomorrow and you were treated as such. And I never, ever, ever wanted to make an employee feel like they didn't matter. Now, have I been successful in that 100% of the time? No. Like I said, I'm human. And there's been times that I've really fucked up and had to deal with that.
You do often tell me that I don't matter, but I'll wait for my
only when you need to hear it. But part of the reason why I did this is because it is your company. It is. Because like Playtime wouldn't be Playtime without Barney. It wouldn't be Playtime without Casey. It wouldn't be Playtime without Austin. It wouldn't be, you know what I mean? Like it's all these various things and it's everyone collaboratively working together to achieve a better goal. You know, businesses of today, especially remote companies, are communities. They're professional communities. And so in my mind, it's like, this isn't an episode of Severance. Like, you need to bring all of you to the table because your perspectives, your background, your experiences, your points of view, all of those are what make you a valuable employee. And so it's essential that we have that kind of environment. And I do have to say, I think a large reason why things have gone so well, especially lately, is Casey. I handed over the keys to basically the entire company a few months ago. And since then, Casey has just taken it to a level that I never could have done. I never would have imagined possible. The man is genuinely a friend, but also genuinely I would argue that Casey is a better founder and a better representative of Playtime than I am. And I'm okay with that.
He's a rock star. He's amazing. But he's also so passionate. But like he really, really, really cares. And that, again, makes all the difference in the world. And also just, I talk about it all the time, how like, you know, it's so important to see people like you being themselves, doing, you know, the kinds of things that we're doing here. Because it encourages other people you don't know it's okay until you see someone doing it.
And Yes. I'm the only Black founder of a large ABDL pup or kink company that I know of.
Same.
And, you know, at first that made me feel a little sad because like, you know, why can't there be more? But, you know, the way I look at it is that people don't think something is possible until they see someone like themselves doing it. You know, right. Like one of the things I talk about often, and this isn't any shade to him. I think he's a good person, but I've always been very annoyed and upset at ABU's lack of diversity.
Yep.
It's stark. I mean, this is an international company and there's not a single person of color on your leadership team, in your advertisements, who goes to your events. Like I've never, not once, seen a single person who's not white represent ABU. And in their products, the first Black or even like darker skinned model was when they released their active diaper suits, which was only like 2 or 3 years ago. And they're a great company. Like that's not my point. It's just more so of like, when you see such a severe lack of representation, it makes it feel like it's all impossible, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And the way, when you're saying like, why can't there be more? The way I see it is like, well, maybe now there can be because you're paving the way, essentially.
Thank you. I like to look at it as I'm just creating opportunities and creating an environment that I wish I had. Like, it's really what it is. It's like, I just want to create the kind of space, work environment, company, and media that I wish that I had when I was really discovering myself, especially in kink, which can be such a wild ride of exploration.
When did that even all sort of start to blossom for you then?
For like kink in general?
Yeah, like kink in general. Because, I mean, we all have that thing, you know,
yeah.
Like whatever point it was, we all got to that point where we realized, oh, wait, actually, this is my life. I want to live it my way and stop being so embarrassed about this thing about myself.
There were two moments for me. The first was when I discovered the internet, like truly, really discovered the internet. When I was younger, I was like 9 or 10. I built my first computer. And this is really early. I was born in 92. So we're talking, you know, super early in the internet when basically there were no safeguards on anything. You could find anything you wanted, which
you
is...
You could find clown porn.
You could
find... Nowadays you can't. That's a whole... season two, that's gonna be my rant.
Where are the clowns? No, I mean, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, so I grew up in a cult. But anyway, I grew up so I had very repressed. Like, I knew nothing about sexual anything at all. And so through the internet is when I first discovered things that I liked. And I didn't know what masturbation was. In fact, the way that I got off was, I think this is why I like diapers. I would take toilet paper and like wrap my penis in it and then hold myself until I like couldn't wet anymore. And then just like wet myself uncontrollably. And that felt amazing. And so that was like me discovering my first kink, really. It was like desperation and
That was how that was how like you masturbated?
That was how I masturbated.
Okay, because I've told my masturbation story, which was like I just didn't know that there were other ways to do it and whatever.
Well, and then I eventually figured out. Well, because like I saw media where they would make like the jerking motion and all that stuff, but no one ever talked to me about sex. And so I didn't understand what that was. And so I eventually did figure that out and was like, oh, this feels amazing. But it explains why, even to this day, like piss and diapers and everything, that is the number one thing for me. Like well beyond sex. That is it for me. So that was the first moment.
So diapers from the get-go. But I'm interested in like this complete lack of sex education, because that seems irresponsible that you've got no clue how any...
No clue. And my dad tried to have the birds and the bees conversation with me, but he kept using euphemisms and metaphors, so it didn't make any sense. And and in America, sex ed is something that parents can opt out of, which again, what the fuck. So, I didn't really discover like sex and like what it was and how it worked until I was around 16, 17 when I first like actually started exploring with other people. But what really, the second moment for me was really kind of was the unlock of me finally saying, I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live my life and live it as authentically and as real as possible was, and this sounds depressing, but it really isn't now that I'm past it, is my mother refused to go to my wedding. This was really frustrating because we got engaged in September of 2019, and we had planned to have our wedding in 2021. And I talked to her like 3 or 4 times after that over the following week, and not once did she mention the fact that her son had just gotten engaged. Like, I just got engaged, and she didn't mention it. She refused to talk about it. I finally brought it up, and she was like, well, you know how this is for me. It's very difficult. Eventually, we got to the point a few months later where I was like, we're having the wedding. And she was like, I don't think I can go. And I said, well, you're going or else I'm never talking to you again. I'm going to give you a year to decide what you want to do. And at the end of that year, you let me know what you've decided. So then that was in January of 2020. And so I was just playing that scene over and over and over and over again in my head. I said, you know what? I need to know. And so I call her and I said, I need to know, are you going to my wedding? And so she starts to go into an explanation of, she's like, RJ, I really struggled. And I said, that's not what I'm here to talk about. Are you going to my wedding? And she said, see, this is the problem with you. No, I'm not going to your wedding. I've known that since the day that you asked me about it. And I said, all right, then goodbye. And that was the last time I talked to my mother. I just couldn't imagine being so cruel as to give your child a year of hope, knowing that you're opinion wouldn't change. And what I later found out from my sister was that my mom had decided she wasn't going to go, knew that I was serious, that I wouldn't talk to her again. And so she knew that I was never going to talk to her again. And so the way she explained it to my sister was she wanted to have one more year with her son before she never got to have the connection with him anymore. And I said, I will no longer live my life by anyone else's rules. I will never, ever again allow myself to feel like I need to fit a mold or be a person that I'm not in order to make someone else happy. I had put off all these ideas about playtime, and I had been really secretive about my sex work and all this other stuff out of respect for my parents. I didn't want to embarrass them. And I said, no more, because I owed it to myself. I owed it to myself, and I also owed it to other people who maybe were in similar situations. And so from that day forward, I really dedicated myself to that. And I think that's a big reason why I'm able to say that I'm happier than I ever have been in my entire life.
I'm sorry, that made me gasp. I'm
No, it's okay.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. But also, yeah, that is such a positive that you... It is such a brave thing, really. Like, it sounds kind of horrible to say because it's such a difficult thing to do, but it is genuinely so brave that you are able to look at it that way and take that as the positive that it is and say, no, my life is my own.
It is my own. And at the time, was I was it terrible? Was it traumatic and horrible? Yes, obviously. Like, it was, it took months before I really fully recovered from the emotional damage.
But it's just that it was that deliberate. Like,
it was that deliberate. It was that deliberate. It was like, there was never any hope. And what made it worse was, like, throughout the year, she, like, dropped little hints that made it seem like things would go well. Like, it was just cruel. And so, yeah, I know that there's a lot of people who live their life that way, where they don't make decisions, or they keep quiet, or they don't express themselves because they're worried about how it would reflect on the family or how to reflect on others. And the thing I tell people all the time is that the only person who gets to decide what's good for you is you. You are the one who gets to determine the destiny and the fate of your future. And so the question really comes down to, do you want to live your life in a way that makes you feel fulfilled? Or do you want to live your life in a way that pleases other people but leaves you miserable? Mm. And in every case, I'm going to encourage people to take the form.
Yeah, totally. Because if your parent is okay with the idea that you will never talk to them again.
Right.
And that sucks. But the I think one of the greatest gifts out of that is, I mean, knowing yourself is huge. Like, that is something that so many people will never figure out throughout their lives. And what that gives you, the perspective that gives you, is huge. But what it also does is it allows you to find your people. It allows you to find people like you. It allows you to make those connections and build that found family, which can be just as strong and just as supportive.
I 100% agree. This is something that the queer community in general, I am thankful every day that I was not born straight. I would hate to be straight, to have to abide by all these heteronormative ideals of what it's like to be a man, especially as a Black man.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. One of the unique things about the queer community is, it doesn't matter where you go. If you can find a queer space, you instantly feel at home. Mm. Straight people do not have that.
Yeah.
They just don't. They just don't. And they don't even know what that's like.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the found family, we had to. You know, the genocide of LGBTQ people, which is commonly referred to as the AIDS epidemic in the United States, wiped out an entire generation of queer elders. People lost loved ones. They lost their found fathers, their found mothers, their everything. And as a result of that, the queer community became even more insular in supporting each other, which then paid off when the vaccine rollout happened and then monkeypox. Queer community was the highest vaccinated people and the fastest in the United States, because we were like, this isn't happening to us again. You're not doing this to us again. And that was because we built this amazing supportive community with each other. Yeah, I think found family is better than everything.
Yeah, right. Like, you get to decide that for yourself. And it, like, so what if someone else thinks it's weird? Like, I was just thinking yesterday, I was at a kennel club, which is a pup event here in the UK. And, you know, I just got over this illness and was still feeling kind of tired and whatever. And I just wanted to be surrounded by my people.
Yeah.
And when I got there, we ended up just doing a big, like, puppy pile. Like, we just had this big, like, nap, you know? Like,
yeah, no, it's amazing.
And we were all just cuddling. And I was like, straight people don't get to do this. Don't get to, like, just enjoy cuddling in a way that's like just the free abandon. It's okay to want this feeling. It's okay to want to just feel supported. It's okay to want. I just went and did that and then came home. You know, like, it was just
one of the things that is going to be really. I was on a podcast with the CEO of Meetup.com, and incredible man, incredible guy, and he has been talking often about the epidemic of loneliness that's affecting our country and the world, really. And where you have a lot of mostly straight white men, but just men in general, who are not able to express their feelings, who are told to suck it up, who have no support for mental health.
Yep.
Like, imagine going your whole life and never being able to cry, never being able to express your emotions, never being able to be intimate with someone.
And most of us, like, relate to this. So that's the thing. Like, most of us have had at least one of these hangups where we've been too afraid to show emotion in front of someone. Or we, like, don't know how to express it with either our words or our bodies, or have felt that we needed to have some kind of facade for the sake of others. It is at such a core of most human society.
And it's
so rotten.
It is.
So I went to the socials and got some questions from some people.
Okay,
and let's do it. Some people sent some things in. So there's only like a small handful of these, but I thought this would be fun to do. Let's see what people want to know.
I'm scared.
Okay, so there's a few different things. I've put them all together. So the first one is somebody wrote in and asked, any kink-related red flags?
Ooh, kink-related red flags. Big red flag for me is when someone says that when people immediately demand that they be called sir or like daddy or something immediately after meeting you, that's a huge, huge red flag in my opinion. A sub-dom relationship is all about respect. And in fact, in my opinion, the sub is the one who has the most control there and should. So that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, I mean, the sub does ultimately because the sub has the real power to end whatever's happening, right? So
exactly. Which the dom can too, obviously.
Right.
But the sub is usually the one who's actually experiencing the majority of whatever's going on. Exactly. That's one red flag. I think the other one for me, this one might be a little lesser known, but it's a really big red flag when people say, I'm a perv and I'm into anything. because that always goes down a really dark path so fast. And I'm just like, you're crazy. Okay, bye. Yeah, I'll put it this way. The amount of times that my husband has been on Grindr and had people proposition him for highly illegal activity is way too high.
Okay. That's the opposite of what I thought you were going to say, because I get the, what are you into? Oh, anything. And I'm always rolling my eyes like, really? Okay.
That happens too.
It'll be like, within 2 minutes, they're like, oh, no. I just meant like, you know,
handcuffs.
I just meant some light spanking. Yeah. It's like, okay, but just because I'll test people now on that when they're like anything. I'm like, okay. Right, so if I were to shit in your mouth, you know, just go go all the way, because I'm like, well, don't say that. Like, it makes you interesting. Like,
yes, that's I agree.
Be honest. What you're into.
I stopped for a while. I was shy about putting like on my, because I don't use the socials very often or like the apps like Grindr.
Because you're a baby boomer, yeah.
dang, just comes straight from my heart. I don't use them often. I typically only use them when I'm going to like conventions and things like that. But for the longest time, I was really shy about putting like my biggest kinks on there because I didn't want to scare people off. Yeah. But what ended up happening was I would just have these really lackluster experiences. Like, I want you to shove your fist so far inside of me that I piss myself uncontrollably. Yeah. I want you to take a dirty diaper, put it on my face, and shove a horse, you know, toy inside of me. You know what I mean? Like, let's have fun.
And you know, and have fun if you're not like honest about what the what the limits of that are. And if someone is like, oh, I'm down for anything, and you're like, great, let me get the horse cock, and they're like, well, actually no, then like,
what exactly? I put it all out there. I'm like, I'm an ABDL, I'm really into piss. The only way you'll get me to come is if you either piss on me in my mouth or some other form isn't happening. Like, this is the stuff that I'm into. I really like bears, like twinks, don't bother. Like, you know, like, I just put it all out there. And it's led to actually really great, because now it's like, when someone does reach out, they know what I'm into. And then we have, you know, these really great moments.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of red flags, I think a dom is not someone who treats you like shit. That's an abuser. And that don't get that confused.
A dom is someone who indulges you in the things that make you feel sexually fulfilled.
Right, and gets off on that. Like, it's power play. And
yes.
And the thing with names, like, actually, you said, like, with names, like, to me, I don't care about certain... It's not the name itself, it's the relationship with the person. So,
yes,
like, that's something that I'll bring up, because people sort of normally default to sir, and then, you know, I sort of go, well, you know, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? Some people, daddy is, like, a really good one to go for. Some people don't like that. Some people have other people in their lives that they call daddy. So... for some people, I'm boss, which I'm like, yeah, okay, we can do that. Or just, you know, whatever, like the names that you choose for each other are something that you both choose. So totally. As soon as someone's like, no, call me this, it's like, oh, okay.
Mm, yeah, no, not about it.
Again, unless that is your kink, you want them to tell you, but that's something you talk about. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's not just, it doesn't happen spontaneously. And then, like, I'm super into humiliation, right? And so, like, I'm very much a stereotype. I'm a type A CEO who, you know, wants to have his diaper changed in the middle of the boardroom. Uh-huh. Like, those are my fantasies.
Yep.
And so, you know, I am okay with the fact that my husband constantly degrades me and, you know, calls me a little, you know, piece of shit and stuff like that and uses my diaper as a urinal. But, like, we've talked about it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we also understand where the limits are, you know? Yeah. Like,
and that those can change. Those can be revoked.
And they can be revoked. You know, I have had 4 different instances when someone has called me the N-word while we're fucking.
Are you serious?
Yes. 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 And don't get me wrong, I'm really into the whole, like, I'm a black guy, like, fucking a small white twink. That is something I get off on. It is. I enjoy it. Let's just say that I was blessed with a very stereotypical size for black men. I'll put it that way. And I get off on that. But, like, no. What in what world did you think it was okay to say that? Like what? It's wild. I mean, obviously, every single time, it was, like, immediately, like, you need to get the fuck out of my house. Like,
that is wild. That is...
It's crazy. People are wild. People are wild.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is a playtime question, so I'm going to hand this over to you. Are you planning to do custom options for clothing?
We've talked about it. We've talked about it extensively. I will not give a yes or a no. I will say this. Part of the difficulty with custom clothing is that it has a pretty high cost. And also there's a lot of technical considerations when it comes to logistics for it. So we are not against it. And we actually are talking about some ways that we might be able to do it. But all I will say is that keep an eye on Playtime in February, and I'll leave it there.
That was a very non-committal answer.
Pulled out my media training on that one.
Nice. Okay. Somebody asked, what's the best aftercare after a session?
For me or just in general?
I guess both. I don't know.
Okay. I would say in general, just talking. So just a general rule, especially if you do like a really heavy scene, like something that involves like, you know, spanking or beating or, you know, something where there's a lot of pain involved, especially, or something that could be traumatic. Talking, petting, hugging, kisses, if that's what they need. Also asking the sub what they need. You know, some subs are very much like when they're done with the scene, they're like, don't touch them. Don't like do anything. They just need to like be alone for a minute. Others, like for me personally, I'm very much like a nurturing, like hold me, coddle me, you know, make sure I'm okay. That's how I am.
Yeah.
But and it also depends on the scene. You know, for me, if it's something that's like an ABDL specific kind of scene, it's more coddling. If it's something where it's a hard scene, you know, where I'm getting fisted or something crazy, I actually like it to be a like, this sounds crazy, but like degrade me after, like tell me how I'm sitting there, like lying in my juices essentially, and you know, and all this stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I think physical closeness is important, but you're right, it depends on what the session has been. But I think starting with a hug is important to let the sub know they're safe physically.
Yes.
And then you want to be communicating. Ask how they're feeling and whatever it is that the sub needs to get completely relaxed. So give them whatever they need, and you know, whether that's have a cuddle,
especially if you're doing something for the first time. If it's something you do for the first time, it's even more important.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's also it's kind of like everything. It's just communicating what your needs are.
Yep.
Like I kind of like to do a, you know, have a cuddle, have a chat, how are you feeling, and then be like, okay, I'm gonna give you, take your time, you know, getting back to reality. I'm just gonna leave you to rest for a little bit. And then they can kind of recalibrate. But it depends person to person. Some people prefer not to be left alone. So, I guess just...
Communicate.
Okay.
Oh, no. What
someone
is it?
Someone just sent in a question mark.
just a question mark?
Just a question mark. RJ, your answer?
Explanation point.
Good, explanation point. Yeah, I see your question mark and I raise you a slow clap. I think that was a brilliant. I think your question is genius, really. It is one question that is every question.
Yeah. Every question has this question.
Every question has this question. Your question sees me. You know, it sees through me. You know, it knows that above all, I'm just here to be understood, and that is why I'm here. Great question. Sorry I don't have an answer. Great question. This one's for me.
Okay.
The question is, when can I get farted on? The answer is in the new
year. Are you into farting? Is that like one of the things?
I'm not into farting.
Well, if I understand correctly,
so let's say on the matter.
From what I've observed about you, you like the absurdity of kink, right? Like it's absurdness. That's like the thing.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Silliness, goofiness, farts come under that. Yeah. But like everything. You know, there was a little inkling and then the right person and it was just noble. Okay, the last one is from Little Puppy JC. I'm going to read it out because it's kind of long. Okay. But essentially, he wants to know if Santa is real. he says, Arfie, dear Bonnie and Pup Amore, some of my friends don't think Santa is real anymore. But that's not true, right? Who else would eat the cookies we made for him? And how would anyone else know what present I asked for in my letters? Can you tell my friends that Santa is real? Sincerely, little puppy JC.
Well, little puppy JC, see, what happens is sometimes little boys and girls, they start to not believe in Santa. And what ends up happening is that if you don't believe in him, he no longer comes.
Yes.
So as long as you continue to believe in Santa, he will come and eat your cookies and drink your milk and deliver you incredible presents.
Yep.
So just make sure that you are a good pup, that you eat a lot of your bones. If you're into it, that you wear super soggy diapers at all times. And he will make sure that you get the daddy treatment that you deserve.
Good answer. Yes, not only is Santa real, but any puppies who say he isn't aren't going to get any presents.
No,
that's
they're going to get cold.
That's just a Christmas fact.
It's true. That's... Puppies who don't believe in Santa, they get coal and they get the hose. They get the spray.
Yeah. Or the Krampus.
And the Krampus.
They get hit by, yeah. yeah, my in the village where my mom lives, the Schmutzlies will come and
Schmutzlies.
Yeah.
What is it with Europe having such like terrifying?
I don't know, like... but I love it. It's so stupid.
Y'all are crazy.
Know, but, yeah, it's all about scaring the children into a submission. I don't know. threatening real of violence. Yeah. okay. It's about that time. So, I'm going to test you on your homework. No. I'm having a stroke. I'm going to test you on your homework now.
Homework, yes.
What's your yay for today?
My yay for today, is that, let me put it this way. I work too much. And my yay is that my husband worked his ass off in order to give me a honeymoon and a break that I did not realize I desperately needed until we got here. So my yay is that I get to spend the next week and a half exploring Europe with the person I love most in the world.
Yay! That's an awesome one. That's good. I like that. That's good vibes.
That's good vibes.
See, because sometimes we go places that are, you know, like some of the stuff is hard to talk about. And so I always like just love to end on a yay because...
I love that.
Okay, so my yay today is going to be my listeners. There's been some insane number. Like, what is it? Like a 95% increase in reach this month alone, which is crazy. Yes. And
you really blew up this month. You really blew up this month. I think, you know what I think it is? I think you started really diving into areas of the kink world that get ignored a lot. And I think the thing that makes you so unique from Newsy is that you provide a much more nuanced and personal perspective. Newsy, I like to say, like the NPR of Playtime. You're like the Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. That's the way I always like to think of it. I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah.
No, like you're totally right. Like you go to him for the hot button topic and then this was just kind of my silly little, like I wanted to put myself out there, but also I wanted to talk to people who also, you know, were weirdos. And yeah, it just the people listening are what kept this podcast going for 20 episodes. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to thank every single one of you listening because you're the thing kind of really making this. And the response I've gotten from people has been truly like overwhelming and humbling.
It's insane. I periodically check the socials and people like they talk about how like they listen to you while they're on their way to work. Like you're their feel good podcast, like all these things.
I still can't believe like how far across the globe people are listening. Like I was looking at like all the different countries and I was just like, Oh my goodness, like, I'm really surprised that I made it over. Like, there were listeners in Saudi Arabia, there were listeners in Pakistan, there were listeners in Philippines. Like,
and it really goes to show that I think this is part of what makes this podcast so beautiful, is that it shows that kink is universal. It's freeing, it's cathartic, and doesn't matter where you're from, you have something you're into. Even if you're ace, you know?
Yeah.
Kink doesn't have to be sexual. So
no.
Yeah, I think that's, you just have an ability to convey such emotion and such joy and pain and all these different things through your voice. And so as a person who's been a quiet observer, it's just been a joy seeing you just come into your own with this. So,
Well, thank you. And thank you, wherever in the world you're listening, you're all my yay for the day. Bubba, thank you so much for finally getting on the pod.
Yes, it happened. It was not easy, I will say. I am a hard man to strike out.
No, it was not easy. And I'm on the clock now to get it produced. Yes. But anyway, where can people find you online?
So if you would like to follow me, I, due to the insanity and really bad policies, will not be spending much time on Twitter anymore. But if you would like to follow my kink account, it is pup_amour, A-M-O-U-R. I mostly am probably going to be spending more of my time on Instagram for a little bit, and then I might make TikTok. That's just Pupamor on there as well. Basically, just search me Pupamor and you'll find me somewhere.
Awesome. As always, you can find me on Twitter at tstota and on Instagram at @_muckle_stota. And yeah, we'll see how long. Until the next thing's a sure thing, I'm just like, I guess I'm hanging out on this hellscape of a site. But that's where you can find me. And that wraps season one of The Big Top.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Gosh, yeah. Happy holidays, everyone. Be good, be safe, be yourself, and join us next time as we go under the Big Top.